Thursday the 5th of June, Membov Laomer, Rabbi David Kaplan, Torah, the Foundation of Life.
Gemara Shabbos says, Shabbos Peches, Gemara says, Amar Rav Dimi Bar Choma Bar Chasa, Melamed Shekofa Kodesh Baruch Aleim Es Tahar Ki Gigis. The Kodesh Baruch held a mountain over Klai Yisrael like a gigis. We used a barrel, Kofa Aleim Es Tahar Ki Gigis. Amar Lahem, Im Atem Mekablim HaTorah Mutav, if you accept the Torah very good, Vim Lav is not, Shom Teik Vurasav, that's where you're going to be buried. So the Torah says, Im Tekablan HaMutav, Vim Lav, Shom Teik Vurasav. Accept the Torah very good, if not, that's where you're going to be buried. There are two kashas here. Kasha number one is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu held a mountain over Klai Yisrael, like a gigis. A gigis is a barrel. That means he's holding a hollow barrel over Klai Yisrael. Now, Klai Yisrael saw something no one else in history ever saw. No one in history, the greatest mountain climbers, no one ever saw the underside of a mountain. People have gotten to the top of Everest, K2, whatever they are. Wherever they've gone, the madmen who climb mountains, no one has ever seen the underside of a mountain. No one ever saw what a mountain looks like from the bottom. They see the top, no one's ever seen the bottom. Klai Yisrael, we're the only people in history, they're sitting, there's a mountain on top of them. Now, understand, imagine somebody has a frightening experience. A person's walking, after a lion shows up on the sidewalk and starts chasing you. And a person's running for his life from a lion, and you barely make it, you run from the lion, you get into your house, you slam the door, you manage to get in the house just before a lion gets you. And you're going to describe the experience to somebody else. What would you say? I was running away from that lion, I was so terrified, that lion seemed to me to be a broom with teeth. Right? Imagine saying such a thing. You're trying to describe how frightening it was. You describe a lion as a broom with teeth. Right? Frankly, I wouldn't use any analogies. You know how frightening it was? It was as frightening as a lion. That's how frightening it was. There's nothing in life that's more frightening than being chased by a lion. If Kafa Lam is the heart of Jesus, God's holding a mountain over them, what do you mean they have Kafa, and they're underneath the mountain and they're looking up, and God's is holding a mountain, so that's not frightening enough. Ooh, you're not afraid of the mountain, so we'll make it look like a barrel. Oh, it's a barrel. Now I'm worried. Now I'm nervous. A mountain, mountains have a barrel. Now I'm worried. I said, what does Chazal have to tell us? Kafa Lam is the heart of Jesus. You mean I'm not, which is, it should have said, Kafa Lam is the heart. Kehar, he held a mountain over them, just like a mountain, and that was funny, frightening enough. Why is that my heart of Jesus? Question number one. Question number two is, Im tekablen amutov, if you accept it, very good. Vim lav, if not, shom teik v'rasim. That's where you're going to be buried. Why shom teik v'rasim? What should it say? Say po teik v'rasim. You're going to be buried right over here. Why is it shom teik v'rasim? Good question. So, the answer is, that, I think the poshut shot, obviously, about is a threat. I think shot is like this. Rashi and Hazinu says the following. Yimseo beretz midbar v'sol yelo yishimon yisol v'venu yivoneneu yitzrenu ki ishon ena. Kodesh Baruch Hu protected Klal Yisrael like the pupil of the eye. This one part of the body a person gets very instinctively, guards very carefully the pupil of their eye. Torah says HaKodesh Baruch Hu surrounded them and protected them like the pupil of the eye. Unbelievable Rashi here. Amazing Rashi. Rashi says, what did Yisrael do then? What does it mean he surrounded them? Says Rashi, Shom Sivvam Vehikifam Ba'anonim. He surrounded them with the Anonim. Vesivvam Vedigolim La'arba Ruchos. He divided them. He surrounded them, so to speak, by dividing them up into the Degolim in the four directions, which is a protective strategic alignment. If you're trying to guard yourself, you divide up and you protect all four flanks. The Sivan Vitahti Sahar Shekval Lankigis, he surrounded them under the mountain, which he held over them like a barrel. What's that got to do with protection? We're talking about protecting Klal Yisrael. So I understand the Anonim come and protect them, and I understand that they divide it up in four flanks to protect them. What's that got to do with Kafa Lam Zarkigis? So Pshat is like this. Pshat is that the first way of understanding is that is a threat. But Pshat is it's not a threat. It's a Gilui of the Mitzias. That Kodesh Baruch was telling Klal Yisrael what Torah is. If you accept Torah, then it's Kafa Lam Zarkigigis. I'm going to take this Torah, the mountain. The mountain is hollowed out like a barrel. And I'm going to lower this mountain over you. You know what happens when you're inside a hollowed out mountain? You're completely protected from anything outside of that mountain. You're surrounded by that mountain. You're protected from any outside influences, from any negative, from what's going on in the rest of the world. You're protected when you're inside a hollowed out mountain. In tekablena, this is Chat Megillah. In tekablena, if you accept it, mutav, excellent, then everything's going to be good. Then you'll have all the benefits of accepting the Torah. It's restrictive, and it's got limits, and it's got boundaries, just like a mountain. But in tekablena, mutav, if you accept it, very good. Veim lav, you don't want the Torah. Shom tekvah, you want to go out there, you want to go beyond the mountain, out into that world. Shom tekvah rasam, that world's going to bury you. That world out there is going to bury you. That's the chat. And Rashi says in Hazinu that in Hazinu the Vam Sham Sivam. Now we understand what does it mean he surrounded them with a heart, protected them like the pupil of the eye. He protected them just like a mountain that's hollowed out would protect. And when did Klai Shal violate this principle? It's beautiful, it's unbelievable. When did they violate it? They violated Dafka and Yimei Mordechai and Esther. What did they do? They went out into that world. They went to Suda Sachashirosh. They went into that world. And what happened? Taket. Shomtek Verasim. Haman wanted to bury them. They went out into that world. You want to leave the protective device of the mountain? Shomtek Verasim. That world's going to bury you. Until what? Until they reaccepted the Torah again. When there was another Kimu Vikiblu, in those days, they were Metabol the Torah, meaning they went back into the protective devices of the Torah. At that point, the Gzeres Nisbato. But you want to go out there? Shomtek Verasim. The Gemara Pesachim says that Rav Yosef, the Gemara says, there's a whole discussion in the Gemara, what do you do on the Yom Tovim? So the Gemara says that there's a discussion, Chatzi Lachem, Lashem, Chatzi Lachem, Kulo Lashem, Kulo Lachem. So the Gemara says that everybody agrees, that on Atzeres, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Hakol Modim Ba Atzeres, Debe'in Anami Lachem. On Atzeres, which is Shuas, everybody agrees, you have to have lachem, chatzi lachem. That means that even though on Pesach and on Sukkot, if a person wants, he can devote the whole day, sit in the base rendish all day. You can learn and daven all day what's called kulo lashem. You can make the day kulo lashem. You want, you can sit and eat and drink and celebrate kulo lachem. Kulo lashem, kulo lachem. The other opinion is chatzi lashem, chatzi lachem, divide it up. Comes along Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says that on Shavuos, of all days, and Shavuot's the most ruchni, theoretically. L'chor is the most ruchni. That's what we got the Torah. Everybody says, Shavuot, it's got to be chazakam. You got to have a physical celebration. That's gan Shavuot. That's the first thing. Then, Amar Rav Yosef, the word says, Rav Yosef, the Yomadat Sarta Amar, Evdali Igla Tilsa. Rav Yosef and Atzeres would make what's called, he'd ask for an Igla Tilsa. Igla Tilsa is the finest cut of beef. It's either the third one out of the stomach. There's another opinion that it's 3 years old. The third calf out of the stomach. Rumor, I think you want Shabbos, says that that's the finest cut of beef. So Dafka and Atzeres, Rav Yosef said to make, he requested an Igla Tilsa, the finest cut of beef to celebrate. Why? Omar Eloha Yoma de Kagorim, if not for this day. Kama Yosef Ika Bishuka. If not for this day, how many Yosefs there are out in the marketplace? Well, what does that mean? Says Rashi, Eloha Yoma Shalamadati Torah Vidisramati. It's not for this day that I learned Torah. And I was elevated as a result. Hari Anoshim Harbibashuk Shishman Yosef. There are a lot of people out there named Yosef. Uma Beni Levenom. What difference is there between me and them? That's what Rav Yosef said. So he would celebrate Anatzeres with an Igla Tilsa out of a certain recognition of what Torah has provided and what Torah has done for him. That's what the Gemara says. What does that mean? Kame Yosef Ikim Bishuka. What does it mean? Kame Yosef Ikim Bishuka. Kami Yosef Dika Bishuka, the Poshuk Shad is, well, you know, because he learned, so he became Rabbi Yosef De'amor. But it's more than that. Kami Yosef Dika Bishuka means that that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving the Torah and says, Inte Kablena Mutov. If you accept the Torah, you take on the Torah becomes part of your life. Not everybody's going to be able to learn like Rabbi Yosef Yom of Laila. But a person makes Torah part of life, a person learns Torah for an hour a day, and wishes he could do more, as if he learned 24 hours a day. The person, the minute he finishes doing what he has to do, goes right back to Torah, and he gets the benefits as if he's learning Torah 24 hours a day. A person learns 1 hour a day. A person learns Daf Yomi 1 hour a day, for example. A person learns a Shir 1 hour a day. Whatever it is, his mind the entire day is a different day, and all he wants to do is get back to it. He finishes what he has to do, and he gets back to his learning. That's a person who has Nisromen. This person has been elevated over all the other Yosefs, all the other Joes out in the marketplace. He's been elevated above them because he learns Torah. That's more. You know, Rav Yosef, it's remarkable. You know, Rav Yosef is blind. The Rav said Rav Yosef was tagging on, Rav Yosef was blind. So Rav Yosef says, if not for this day that I learned Torah, there are a lot of people named Yosef. Uma beini lebeinam, says Rashi. What difference is there between me and them? What difference is there between you and them? I mean, there aren't many differences between two human beings. If one human being can see, another human being is blind. That's probably the most pronounced difference that you could find among human beings. And Rav Yosef says, what difference is between me and everybody else? You mean that's not enough of a difference for you? Rav Yosef says, you know what the real difference is? The real difference is a Jew who's connected to Torah, a Jew who learns Torah, versus one who doesn't, that's the difference. That's a bigger difference than somebody who's blind and somebody who's not blind. Somebody who's plugged into Torah, that's a bigger difference than somebody who can see and somebody who can't see. Rav Yosef says, ma beini levinam. But it's more than that. Now, Kama Yosef Ika Beshuka, I heard from Rabbi Weinbach, as I said, Kama Yosef Ika Beshuka means, how many Yosefs are in the marketplace? He's not talking about other Yosefs. He's not talking about others. He's talking about himself. He's talking about himself. If not for Torah, how many Yosefs would I be out in the marketplace? I'd be a fragmented personality. One day I'm looking for one pursuit to keep me occupied, the next day it's another pursuit, the third day it's another pursuit. Every day there's another pursuit. Kama Yosef Ika Beshuka, I'd be all over the place. As we see, all we have to do is look around and we see it. That a person is not grounded. He doesn't have some sort of purpose, some sort of focus, some sort of goal, so he becomes fragmented. He's all over the place. If not for this day that I learned Torah, Kama Yosef Ika Beshuka. A person's plugged into Torah, his whole life is Torah. He's not all over the place. He's got one hobby in life. His hobby in life is learning. He's got to do other things. But he's got one hobby, he's got one focus, he's got one goal. Otherwise, he ends up like Rav Yosef. If he doesn't, then he's Kama Yosef Ika Beshuka, that he himself is spread out and he's scattered all over the place. So why the Iglet Tilsa? Why do they make it an Iglet Tilsa? Why is it an Iglet Tilsa, this third cap? So the Gemara itself doesn't make any, also, it's very difficult to understand. Amar Rabbi Elozer, Hakol Modim Ba'atzeres Dabina Namelachim. Everybody agrees that on Shavuos you need a physical celebration. My time, why? Yom Shenitna B'Torahu. It's the day the Torah was given. I mean, you didn't answer the question, you just made the question stronger. Everybody agrees that you should have a physical, have a big thick steak on Shavuos. Why? That's the day the Torah was given. That didn't answer the question, you just made the question stronger. To the contrary, I would have thought everybody should, on the day the Torah was given, it's easier to sit and learn all day and all night, which we do, but that's what the Gemara should emphasize, learn all day and all night. To the contrary, everybody agrees you should have a big, thick, juicy steak and a good tilsa on Shavuos, because Yom Shenitna Torah. So Yom Shenitna Torah, I understand. So why is it a physical celebration? And he didn't answer the question, Yom Shenitna Torah. So what's the pshat? The pshat is, what's the korban on Shavuos? What is the korban we bring on Shavuos, a special offering, which is the Shtei HaLechem. They bring the Shtei HaLechem. So the Shtei HaLechem were unique. The Shtei HaLechem were distinctly different than other korbanos. What's distinctly different about the Shtei HaLechem? The menachos, which are different than other menachos. Why? The Shtei HaLechem are brought as chometz. So, I remember we were here, we once spoke, last time I was here, about chometz Pesach. We were here at Pesach once. Chometz represents the pleasures of life. That's why we do away with it during Pesach for the 7 days, representing the 70 years of a person's life. Chometz represents the physical pleasures, the pleasures of life. And Shavuos, of all times, we take the Shtei HaLechem, and we make it chometz, and that becomes the offering of Shavuos. Why would we make Dafka and Shavuos the offering of Shtei HaLechem? Because there's obviously a connection between these lechem, and Shavuos, and pleasure. What's the connection? So, there are basically two types of pleasures in life. Physical pleasures. There's lechem, which represents food, the drive for food. That's one of life's pleasures. There's a second pleasure. And that second pleasure is the physical pleasure, which the Torah says, Vayihi Yosef Yisei Torah, when Yosef went down to Potiphar, it says, Vayazov kol asher lo biyad Yosef lo yada ita me'uma ki im halechem asher hu ochel. Potiphar withheld nothing from Yosef except Ki'im ha'lechem asher hu ochel. What does Rashi say, ki'im ha'lechem asher hu ochel? Ki'ishto, that's his wife. Lechem in the literal sense means bread, represents the desire, the drive to eat. Lechem, in the euphemistic sense, is ki ishto. It represents a second physical drive. Those two physical drives are the shtei alechem that we're being makriv on Shavuos. Why is that? And we bring them as chametz. Why is that? Because with the Torah, in tekablena muta, the Torah trains us and the Torah teaches us how to enjoy life. The biggest mistake that people outside looking in, they look in and they think, well, you know, you can make a commitment to Torah lifestyle, and that's going to be for olam haba. You're giving up everything for the sake of the world to come. Many Baal Tshuvas look at it that way, looking from in, from the outside. They look like, okay, I'm going to give up everything, and I'm going to live a life of complete physical deprivation, and it's all going to be sacrificed to the world to come. The irony of ironies is that it's for olam hazeh, not for olam haba. It's for olam hazeh. In olam hazeh is better, because in tekablena muta, that's the shtei alechem. That's why it's a physical celebration on Shavuos. We have a physical celebration because the Torah teaches us how to enjoy it, besides Olam Haba, how to enjoy Olam Haza. The controls, ironically, are what allow a person to enjoy Olam Haza. In Meila and Shuas, we bring the Shtei Alechem, the Shtei Alechem is the offering that we bring, and it's brought Dafka as Chametz, in order to commemorate the fact that the Torah being given, Yom Sheni of the Torah, the Torah was given on this day, in Meila, that's the way we enjoy the Torah. There's the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, that Kachi Darkei Shel Torah. This is the way of Torah. Pasim Nefa Sochal Benoch Tochal the Mind Ben Shor Tishte Valar Tisha. Ima Taosakein Ashrecha V'Tovlach. If you do it, Ashrecha V'Tovlach. Very difficult to understand Ashrecha V'Tovlach, that if you live a life of Torah, then it's going to be Ashrecha V'Tovlach. Okay, so we understand that we have our bare minimum to bare necessity. But where is the ashrech of the tov loch for a person who lives a life of deprivation, a person who lives a life of hardship? There's when they had in the Soviet Union, they had the clandestine operation before the Iron Curtain came down. They had a clandestine operation. Rabbanim went there to teach Torah in the Soviet Union. So then they made a pyramid system. Everybody who learned, right under the noses of the communists, everybody who learned, whatever you learned, you spread it onwards. So one of the Rabbanim went to Russia. I mean, the Sitcher, the mysterious nefesh these people went through for Torah. So one of the Rabbanim went, and one of the Russian refuseniks, a Baal Tshuva, came over to him. He said, I have to ask you a shayla, halachic shayla. He said, what's this shayla? He said, when I learn for about 6 hours at a time, and after about 6 hours, my mind starts to wander. I have this problem all the time, by the way. after 6 hours, my mind starts to wander. So the Rav said to him, yeah, what's your shayla? He says, my shayla is, if you see, I found that after 6 hours, my mind starts to wander, I stand on my head for a few minutes, the blood rushes to my head, and the blood clears my head. I'm able to continue learning for another couple hours. He said, yeah, and what's your shayla? He said, my shayla is, while I'm standing on my head, am I allowed to say Mishnayis Baal Peh? That was his shayla, right? Yes, most Rabbanim, that's not the shayla. Most Rabbanim, the shayla is, I forgot, Yalla Ziyovo on Kol Amoid, what am I supposed to do? Most Rabbanim have not been asked questions of people in a state of in an inverted position, learning Torah in an inverted position. Most Rabbanim have been asked. And if you go to that guy who's being Moser Nefesh for Torah, if you asked him, how's his life? And the irony of ironies is he's the most fulfilled, content person. Well, how could that possibly be? So I heard from Rav Zev Lefshita, said a brilliant mashal. Said there's once a king. King is running through the forest, and he's being chased by the bandits. And the bandits are chasing the king, and the king is running for his life. For some reason in all these stories, kings are always running through the forest. I don't know why it is. The kings are running through. I thought kings had other things to do. Right? King's running through the forest. The bandits are chasing the king, and the king goes running, and somewhere in the forest he sees this little house. So he goes, he knocks on the door, and this guy opens the door. King says, quickly, hide me. The bandits are after me. Hide me. The guy says, okay. And he takes him, he says, I don't have many places. He takes him into the back room, and says, there's a very wide bed. He says, get on the bed, get all the way in the bed, get all the way against the wall. And maybe if they look under the bed, they won't see you. You'll be pushed. It's dark in the corner. Maybe they won't see you. Fine. The king flies in under the bed. The bandit comes running in. And the bandits come searching the house. And they're looking around. don't see him. The guy, one of the bandits goes into the room where the king is hiding, he searches the entire room, then he looks, he sees the bed, so he looks down under the bed, he doesn't see anything. But just to make sure, he pulls out his sword, and he pokes his sword all the way under the bed. And he pulls it out, he checks the tip, there's no blood. Just to make sure, he pokes it again, a sword comes within about a half an inch of the king's nose. And he pokes it again, and he looks at it, no blood. He goes, okay, must not be here, they leave. 5 minutes later, the king's entourage arrives, the search party arrives. And they pull the king out, and the king says to the guy, all right, you know how it goes in these stories. You know, you saved my life, and therefore you can ask for anything you want. Now, what would you like if you have anything you want? The guy says to the king, you know what I really like? I would like to know, when that sword was a half an inch away from your nose, what was going through your mind? So the king explodes. The king says, you fool, you chutzpahdika fool. Not only you're a fool, you could have asked for anything you wanted, and instead of asking for gold, silver, whatever you wanted, you asked for some sort of ridiculous nonsense, what it felt like. But number two, you insult me in front of my men, you imply that I can't give you anything else. You imply that all I can give you, that's all, nothing else. For that, I sentence you to immediate death. They call out the executioner of their portable chopping block, and they call out the executioner, and he says, okay, slams his head down on the block, he says, the count of three, chop his head off. One, two, don't chop. The guy looks up, the king says, that's what it felt like. Right? That's what it felt like. Yeah, didn't feel so good, does it, right? The guy says, what? He says, I'm not upset. I'm not upset at all. The whole thing was a show. But there's no way I could possibly explain to you what it feels like to have a sword a half an inch away from your nose. The only way that I can make you understand what it feels like is to recreate, to simulate the circumstances, recreate it for you. That's what it feels like to be within an inch of death. That's a shot in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, Pasam Elf Tokal, my Mishnah Atishta, Alar Atishta. Then the Mishnah adds in the words, Imata Osekein, Ashrecha V'tovlo. If you do it, Ashrecha, Ashrecha B'amazah, V'tovlo Olam Haba. Ashrecha V'imata Osekein. Why does it say Imata Osekein? Because you could try to explain it for the sake of tomorrow, a person cannot possibly understand it. Why it should be that if a person devotes his life to Torah, a person sits and learns, a person is involved in Ruchnias, somebody just asked me yesterday, Balei Tshuva, what is it about of the Gemara? They learn Gemara and somehow it attracts. What is it that attracts them? To this day I have no idea. I've been working with them for 20 years, I see it happening day after day after day, that it turns a curiosity into a commitment. And I cannot explain to you why by learning Torah, I haven't got that rational explanation for it. I can only tell you that it happens time after time. If you do it, then you appreciate what Torah is. But you have to do it. Once you do it, that's the chat in the Gemara. The Gemara says, couple in the heart of Eric Gies, he said, they accept the Torah very good. You accept the Torah, then you get into protective devices of the Torah, then they mail you Zohar to all the brothers that come from.